Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is a Monday, another hot Monday afternoon, broadcasting from North Carolina. Today's date is July 18th, 2016. I hope that my voice finds you in relative safety and your mind is sound. Because I tell you, man, it's a lot of stuff that's going on in this country. It's enough to drive even the most sanest person crazy, man. So we do have a guest with you today. And of course, we will be talking about the shootings that occurred or the shooting that occurred in Baton Rouge, where you had at least three officers who lost their lives, and then you have some other ones who were injured. I think it was three or four. Not sure of the total count of the police casualties, but we'll certainly be talking about that story. But in the backdrop of this story, whenever things like this happen, whenever there is some counter racism engaged in or counter violence engaged in by black people, you will hear people who are not black and people who may be classified as black who will always start pointing the fingers at so-called black on black crime and act like, you know, nobody's doing anything to address the issue. Our guest today that we will be speaking to, we'll be speaking to Mr. Paul Porter of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab. He has been a guest on the program before, but it's been a very, very long time. But Mr. Porter and others have long been addressing the violent, unconstructive content that is promoted to the black community through the terrestrial corporate radio stations. And really, nobody wants to ever talk about that, you know. But for people to act like that's not an element of any kind of bad behavior or criminal activity or violence that's going on in the black community, although those things are not exclusive to the black community, believe me, I know. I'm surrounded by white folks and they engage in the same sort of things. But what we don't see is the number of casualties from the street violence. But, you know, I have my thoughts on that, but not to go off on a tangent, because that's an entirely separate issue. And there are many factors or many reasons that why we see so much violence in these areas, not to even say who may be behind it. But there has always been people in the black community trying to address these issues. So we got these corporations that, you know, try to put themselves out there as being family friendly and against all this violence and whatnot, but they continue to promote violent content through the radio. So Now, I put Black Radio because the title of today's program is Black Radio Needs to Wake Up. And again, Mr. Paul Porter of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab, I'll be getting him on the line in just a bit. All right. But I put Black Radio in quotations because if many of these stations that black people are on as DJs and talking heads or what have you aren't truly black radio stations because they're not owned by black people. But then we do have some who are like Radio One, Kathy Hughes and her entire radio empire. Now, that is one of the very few black radio conglomerations in this country. And, you know, they got their little gospel stations and stuff like that. But then on the flip side, when you listening to their rap stations or urban, whatever they want to call it or whatnot, they promoting violence. The music is promoting violence and other ill behaviors in our community. So Mr. Porter wrote an article which is titled How Black Radio Hurts Black Culture. And in this article, he talks about he got a phone call from a friend who was listening to the Ricky Smiley show and how they were talking about, you know, the violence that the nation is witnessing right now. But then, you know, during that segment, you know, after the segment or during a commercial break or whatever, they playing some violent music with some violent lyrics. And so I guess Mr. Porter tried to engage Mr. Smiley through Twitter about that hypocrisy and whatnot, and Mr. Smiley just, you know, kind of cussed him out, you know, shifted the blame and then blocked Mr. Porter, told him to shut the F up and then blocked Mr. Porter and what have you. So, you know, Mr. Porter is right. He's been one of those voices that's been out there for years warning people about this content and its impact on black culture, meaning the black community. So let me go ahead and not waste any more time and get Mr. Porter on the line. After we talk to Mr. Porter, we will get into the other news items of the day. Hello, Mr. Paul Porter.
Speaking.
Hey, how are you today, sir? Thank you for joining us on Black Talk Radio. We're on the air live. Glad you could join us.
Great. Let's get it rocking and rolling, my brother.
Yeah, let's do that, man. And for those who are not on the website right now, we have provided a link to the article Mr. Porter wrote, which is the subject of the discussion I want to have with him today. But you can Google it, look it up, How Black Radio Hurts Black Culture. And he goes on to say, but after all the conscious talk, what is the final message to the listener when black radio consistently plays content filled with negative messages? So again, as I told the listening audience, you the founder of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab, and so I would consider you an expert on these matters. Wouldn't you consider yourself as such?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I worked in so-called black radio for over 25 years, and I'm a student of the game, that's for sure. And the game has changed drastically in the last 10, 15 years, maybe even more, where, you know, black radio was an asset in the lives of people of color for a long time, through the civil rights era, through the positive music, through the systematic messaging, and the gathering of voices. You know, it was trusted, and we've been tuned in, you know, the last 10 years to a bunch of syndication, and the younger audiences get a high diet of misogyny, violence, drugs, and sex all the time. So, you know, after hearing Ricky Smiley go on a rant about consciousness and you know, Black Lives Matter and how the media is smearing what goes on with that group, I directed, you know, an article to Black Radio, and I was surprised surprised it's picked on, but I was more surprised of his ignorant response.
Yes, and I informed the listeners from that response. But tell us, though, in the article you state that you got a call from a close friend, and he was listening to Radio 1. And Radio 1 is owned by Kathy Hughes and her family, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and, you know, really a bunch of banks and stuff, yeah. But she sold a lot of the rights to somebody else. But, yeah, she's the owner.
Okay. And so he has a syndicated national morning show, which I don't listen to, but I am aware.
I don't listen to either, but, you know, that's the problem. We don't listen enough, and they get away with murder. And, you know, he's on in key markets around the country dealing with the younger audience, 12 to, you know, 34 years old. And the music is this not responsible at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said your friend heard him on the radio and, you know, explaining to his audience, like you just mentioned, that he was sick and tired. Mr. Smiley was sick and tired of the media distorting the efforts of Black Lives Matter. And I agree that they are, you know, distorting those efforts. But then when you follow that up, as your friend said, you know, playing a song that has lyrics talking about drugs, sex, violence, and misogyny, and making street money, which we know that's drug dealing and other stuff like that. That, you know, like your friend said, it cancels out any kind of positive thing you're trying to put forth.
Yeah, and his defense was, "Well, I don't program music." Well, that's not the point. Well, maybe you should talk to your program director and say you want, you know, some of the biggest voices control their music. You know, Donnie Simpson controls his music.
Right.
But there's no excuse, you know, for anybody to say we can't play better music. There's a lot of positive and uplifting music. And, you know, folks in different generations growing up, that was my passion, music. And I got a balance of good, bad, uplifting, true, that this, you know, this doesn't happen anymore.
Do you think that is by design, Mr. Porter?
Yeah, it's designed because the radio stations have this marriage with the record companies, and whatever the record companies send the radio stations, they all play at the same time across, you know, the 50 United States at the same frequency, so you can't tell me it's not a conspiracy. You know, back in the 80s, there was regional music. And that makes sense because everybody's not alike. So what happens in Seattle doesn't happen in Atlanta or in Charlotte or Richmond. It just doesn't break out that way. But now everything happens at the same time because they're told to play the same record on the same date and the same frequency, and pay for play is alive and well. And that's why there's so much garbage on the air. Strict garbage, you know. And I programmed a lot of radio stations. We used to reject things, ask for edits, you know, but that doesn't happen anymore. Everybody just plays right along to the mix and smiles.
Now, as you stated,
including Ricky Smiley.
So you think that Mr. Smiley is being disingenuous because you sat in that seat and you know how it works. And with him being the name of the show, his name on the show, it seems in his reply to you to make it seem like, oh, he don't have no input into that. And you know that's not true, right?
No, he doesn't care. And that's why, you know, but that's the view of a lot of people in radio, especially when the brothers get paid off. You know, that nobody wants to struggle to hit them or to have that tough discussion with their boss. Mm-hmm. No, that's not, you know, that's not it. Mm-hmm. That's not happening anymore. And Ricky Smiley could change it. But instead, he writes STFU to me and blocks me like a little 9-year-old on Twitter.
Mm.
But that's what we've come down to.
Now, in terms of the programming, because a lot of people, you know, they may not believe the psychological impact that sort of content has on a person when it's drilled into their minds over and over and over and over. But are you of the mind, which I am, that music can program your brain just like they so-called...
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Why do you think tens of millions of dollars spent on advertising in between the music? You know, it's ludicrous to think that that has no effect on you. You know, there's studies that prove that music has effect on you. If you hear the same thing or the same themes in your house, it works. You know, sooner or later, you're a little bit softer. Or you're a little, you know, you can see it in the way the kids dress and think. Mm-hmm. That our culture is repeated. You know, hip-hop culture is on the news when it's beneficial. You know, you've heard the newscasters use the terminology of our culture all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't tell me that the negative end of it, I don't care if you're Russell Simmons or whoever else, telling me, well, it has no effect. Yeah, well, how come nothing's positive anymore? How come Stop the Violence was 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, now, see, that's
we don't hear records like that.
Yeah, well, see, that's one of the things that I say to people, because, you know, whenever we're talking about violence as associated with the black community, they always like to talk about whenever black people complain about the violence, the systemic violence directed at them by the police and agents of the state, people will, what about all that black-on-black crime and all this and that? And they claim, they act like nobody in the community has been addressing this issue. But like you just mentioned, you know, when I was a teenager, I remember Stop the Violence marches and rallies and mm-hmm. events that was going on in Charlotte, you know, when I was like 17, 18 years old. I'll be 50
and
in
that
November.
That was 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm just messing with you.
I say 60. Yeah, I'll just be 50 this year, sir. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, but then, like, we have Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. And
spoke to him last night, yeah.
Yeah, and there are other organizations that is trying to bring this to the forefront. But this is an issue that never comes up whenever there is a genuine discussion about the ills of the community.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I know.
Do you expect Tom Joyner to talk about it? Do you expect Steve Harvey to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're all partners in crime, you know, with these networks. So they can't talk about it. That's how the system's built. They buy off the names that have the messages all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they can't talk about it because they're part of Radio 1 or they're part of iHeart or part of, you know, the bigger, the big criminal.
Right.
It's one corporate loop.
Right. But, Mr. Porter, I don't expect them, for the reasons that you stated, to talk out about it. But what I'm putting the question to is, what about these pastors and preachers and people who, you know, have captive audiences on Sundays? You know, when Brother Kwabena and his people were up there, you know, in Chicago or Gary, Indiana, and they go to protest at McDonald's because McDonald's is sponsoring murder music on the radio station, that parking lot should be filled with people from church or anybody, you know, that has a concern for the community. And we're not seeing that, and that's a shame.
Yeah, well, that's always the big problem, you know, is getting the masses to turn out. And I don't see that changing until we get bigger coverage, you know. And that's a shame about it.
Yeah, and but then that challenge of getting bigger coverage is pretty hard when you got six corporations corporations controlling 95% of all the media. So, yeah. So it's an uphill battle, but it's one well worth fighting and one that you have been fighting for years commendably.
Oh, man, I'm getting, you know, my just for men days are here where I'm dying this gray, bro. And it's and a lot of this is caused by this frustration. And it's caused by the ignorance of some of the folks that are the leaders of this move of media that just don't want to deal with it, man. They want to, you know, it's funny. Everybody stopped the music, a lot of these big radio stations, to do town halls. Hot 97 in New York, BLS, Atlanta, out on the West Coast. Everybody wants to talk about the issue, but they don't want to talk about the issues of their music and the messages that they portray.
Yeah, how they're contributing. Yeah, how they're contributing to the problem. Everybody else a problem, but I'm not the problem. You know, I don't have no role in it. So I you know, I just hope more people start becoming aware, you know, as we use social media, which is a big part of the movement, and getting our own messages out. I just hope that everybody who hears us now, who will listen to the podcast later, will take this serious, because it is serious. You know, propaganda, which I also, you know, call this music, you know, propaganda. Propaganda is a tool of warfare, and it is just part of the war that's being waged on black people, black culture, the black community, in my opinion. Now, Mr. Porter, I read an article. I don't know if you tweeted it out or if you shared it. I can't remember where I came across it.
Okay.
But I saw something that Meek Mills, the rapper Meek Mills, said he's no longer going to put out violent content. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, it was an interesting post that he's decided to take an edge off of his music that was never really that popular at one time, but it's nice to see that, you know, he wants to address the issue. And a couple of rappers are doing it. There's a big record by Joe Buttons now about freedom that this dropped, that, you know, that lyrically this has some great content. But will commercial radio jump on it? That's another question. You know, it all depends if it comes out the pockets of Def Jam. Nobody discovers anything anymore. Mm-hmm. It happens systematically through promotion teams. And that's the problem.
I know years ago I had interviewed, and I actually used to work with her for her radio program when she was doing one. Her name, she goes by the performing name Cleo Jones, and she was a protege of Chuck D and what have you. She's not the only one. I talked to another artist out of the Florida area, and they were telling me that, you know, they had deals with the industry, but when they refused, her as a woman refused to allow herself to be exploited sexually, you know, and when he said, I'm not going to do gangster rap music no more because, you know, I've had a change of mindset, they lost their deals, man. So,
that always happens, man. That's pretty standard.
Really?
that is pretty standard. That, you know, most of the time people don't get signed anymore unless they sign you up due to your content. And if your content's not raunchy, you're not getting signed. Trust me.
Well, Mr. Porter, as a insider, as a person who worked in this industry over 20 years in solving this problem of this destructive content that's coming into our communities, what do you recommend people do in terms of the
try
content?
To own your own.
What do you mean?
And so we own it, we can't change it. Look, 4 years ago, me and my partner, we got a low-power FM that we're turning on August 1st in Orlando.
Okay.
You know, I've been in broadcasting over 30 years. Well, finally, we got a station called The Wire 98.5. We'll have about a 30-mile radius around Orlando. We're based in Pine Hills, Orlando, right in the hood. That's where our office is and our tower is. We'll be streaming online 24 hours a day. It took some money It took years of fighting back and forth with the FCC. But guess what? I got my own signal, my own station. I can program what I want, do what I want, and talk to people 24 hours a day. That's when we start winning, when we start owning. And, you know, the process is hard, but we gotta control our images, because we all get frustrated watching CNN or wherever else where news is, and we ask the television questions all the time. Well, now I can ask my own questions, and I'm sort of proud of that.
Hey, I'm proud of you too, because I know how much you put into that and how long that had been a vision of yours. But let me ask you this. You say it is hard, and it is. It is hard. A lot of paperwork, a lot of money to invest in engineering and getting the plans and stuff. Just the whole process of applying for a license, you know, for low power FM. Because of those obstacles, that's one of the reasons that my organization, the Black Talk Media Project, decided to just focus solely on digital radio, you know, which is now streaming in cars and whatnot. So I would say, you know, in a addition to low power FM stations, because we do have some across the nation. Shout out to Sister Ophelia in Greenville, South Carolina, WXMP in Greenville. But you know, I also see that, okay, digital, for example, Mr. Porty, I got a client who runs his own radio, digital radio station, has his own platform. He's based in Philadelphia. He used to be on WURD in Philadelphia, but the what he said was the bourgeois ownership, okay, the children of the man who bought the station, didn't like the kind of content, you know, the conscious content that they was putting out, you know, and so they came to me years ago. So like I told him, man, you still in Philadelphia, don't just market your stuff online, market it to the local Philadelphia audience, man. You should be competing with WURD. Almost everybody got smartphones now. Almost everybody got access to the internet, you know. So I see that as a solution. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. And that's what we're doing in Pine Hills, Orlando. We got programs set up for the youth where I'm going to hire somebody to do 7 to midnight from the local community. We got programs. You know, radio used to be community-based.
Right.
Where you reached out to your local markets. Well, they suckered us. They suckered us years ago with Tom Joyner, where everything is out of market. You know, syndication. There's more syndication for black folks than there is white folks. And there's a reason for that. So we don't talk about local issues. We don't have local jobs. We don't, you know, attack local problems or support local things. You know, I worked at one of the greatest stations in the country years ago at KYS Kiss in D.C. And Donnie Simpson was my boss. And we had local everything, pool parties, softball games, outreach to the community, where people on the air really interacted with listeners locally. And that's what I think everybody has to do. If you're in the barbershop all of a sudden doing a promotion, people see you and touch you and they support you.
Quite interestingly, this person I was speaking of actually is a barber, has a barber shop. I said, bro, if I was you, I would take a supply closet or something like that, and while I'm at the barber shop, that station, somebody would be on that station, you know, pushing out some content. But he just lost, you know, both of his parents recently, so he's recovering from that. But I talked to him about it, and he's giving it strong consideration. But Mr. Good. Porter, I want to thank you for all that you have been doing on behalf
of. Hey, man, thanks for what you do, bro. We all got to communicate, man, and we got to do a better job of taking control of our own.
Yes, sir.
And you know, that's what I urge everybody to do. Yes. And if I can help, reach out to me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Porter on Air. Porter on Air.
Mm-hmm. And you say the low power FM station, what's the call letters again, and when will it launch?
The Wire 98.5.com. the wire985.com. We have a Facebook page and a Twitter with the wire985. Sign up there. We'll send out messages when we turn on and what we're doing.
Well, most definitely, we want to support you in that, Mr. Porter. And thank you again for coming on today. And you have a very blessed day, sir.
All right. Thank you, man. Good luck, Scotty. Peace,
thank
bro.
You. Peace.
All right.
All right, that was Mr. Paul Porter of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab, who is also now a independent black radio station owner. And so I just had to bring him on because his article was very much in point exposing the problem. You know, a lot of people, you know, they want to talk about violence in the community, but they don't want to talk about all the causes of the violence in the community, whether that is the lack of a proper education, lack of jobs, whether it is lack of affordable housing, whether it is police terrorism, whether it is your streets are being flooded with drugs and what have you. And then also, if your radio station is promoting all of that ill behavior on the airwaves and what have you. And I know some people out there say, well, you know, turn the radio off and what have you. And look, a lot of these people come up with this mindset and their parents now, and they don't even understand that they're being programmed to act and behave a certain way. Now, does that mean that, you know, everybody is susceptible to their programming? No, everybody isn't susceptible. Some people are able to guard their minds and what have you from being programmed, and they're probably not going to listen to that garbage to begin with. But when we're talking about primarily young people whose brains have not even fully developed, because they, you know, the brain still develops all the way up into 26 years old. But we still got people way older than that are very, very immature and susceptible. All right. So this is something that we cannot afford to ignore. And again, I want to implore each and everyone out there who is able, who knows that they have this kind of destructive radio programming aimed at their community, to reach out to the Black Talk Media Project and get with me, and then we can see what we can do to help you combat that radio station by creating your own radio station and your own platform. Okay? Please recall, like, you know, they are not going to solve the problem. The problem creators are not going to solve the problem. And many of these stations are not under the control of black people to begin with. And the ones that are, well, you know, they are still not in control because they have to deal with, and I don't want to make excuses for them, but they know if they put on certain type of content that goes against what the system wants them to program the people with, well, they'll start losing all their sponsors. They'll start losing all their advertisers. And that's just crazy. You would think that McDonald's, okay, which is just about on every station targeting black people, you know, you would think that they would be concerned about their brand being connected to a station that's pumping out that kind of filthy music. But apparently they don't care, as long as you stop by for a Big Mac. So we see we can't be looking outside of our community to solve the problem when we have the tools, we have the knowledge, and we have the resources. Because it doesn't cost as much as what you might think when we're talking about digital radio platforms. So let's become part of the solution, since we know many of the people we dealing with ain't trying to solve nothing. They might be talking about it, but when it come to doing something about it, well, Mr. Smiley just you know, showed you how that goes. Shut the F up. I don't program the station, and I'm gonna block you. And this is a dude on syndicated all across the nation. masquerading with conscious talk radio? Give me a break, man. Give me a break. So, I am so proud of the work of Mr. Porter, and just very, very proud of the work that he is doing. I know we got some Black Talk Radio listeners in the Orlando area, so I'm definitely hoping that they will support his station. And I'm going to take a station identification break and kick some message music from my brother Sincere Naquari. And then when we come back on the other side, I want to talk about some of the stuff that's in the news. Also want to listen to this message that was left by Gavin Long, the U.S. Marine veteran who is the alleged shooter, or was the alleged shooter, in Baton Rouge. Because I've been hearing a whole lot of stuff on corporate media that ain't true. I've been hearing it even from Black people online trying to make this about Black nationalism, and it ain't about Black nationalism. It's about white terrorism. It's about white nationalism. It's about the fact that these governments, whether they be the federal government, the state government, the county government, whether it be the police chief, the police commissioner, or what have you, don't want to confront the white supremacists in policing. What the hell did the FBI put out that report for? Study it for 2 years and then put out this report for nobody to use the report to address this problem. They want to dance all around the issue. They don't want to get to the root cause of the issue. But they want to say, oh, if Black people just act a little better, if they just did this and did that, this wouldn't happen. Well, you know, again, all the victims, it's approaching about 600 victims, if it's not already over 600 people killed by cops. I'm not going to call them all victims, because some of them did need to get killed if they were trying to kill other people and what have you. But the vast majority of the videos that I have seen over the years and what have you, that is not the case. These killings are very, very unnecessary. And they, many of them, I call them outright murders. Especially when you're talking about a person like a Darren Wilson, who lost his job at one police department because the whole department was shut down for practicing racism in Jennings, Missouri. And then he just went to another one and turned up in Ferguson. And now Michael Brown is dead, as we all know. So, definitely want to talk about Mr. Gavin Long, and you know, again, they're on TV acting stupid and acting, well, they acting like we stupid is what they doing. But, you know, saying, oh, we still don't have a definitive motive of why he did what he did. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got a clue when the only people targeted was cops. You got a clue because of when, you know, all those people turned out to protest the killing of Alton Sterling. So they playing games. That's what they doing. They playing games. They ain't interested in solving no problem. What they interested in doing is keeping us going in circles and even turning on each other and you know, condemning each other and commenting on what our counter racist strategies is, and you know, and then that way they ain't got to focus on the problem, because they don't intend to. So definitely want to talk about that. We heard President Obama say in the wake of the shootings, once again, you know, after some of the other shootings, and then also after some of these racist haters who have killed people have been let go by these juries, nobody's talking to them about, oh, we're a nation of law and order and you need to, you know, convict these people when there's clear evidence and you know they're guilty. But, you know, after we always hear from President Obama, he said, we are a nation of law and order, a society built on the rule of law, and that violence is never justified. But, you know, being a person who pays attention to not just what you say, but what you do. I find that to be a pretty hypocritical statement, especially after they just let Hillary Clinton get away with breaking a bunch of laws, very serious laws. So, you know, with law and order when it come to the hood. But when it come to others outside the hood, oh, it's a separate justice system for them. So those are some of the things that I want to share with you. You are able to share your views as well. 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. The studio line, that's 704-951-5030. 704-951-5030. Wait till we come back from the break before you use that one if you choose to call in on the studio line, or you can hit us up through the web-based flash phone that's connected to the conference line. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast this particular program, if nothing happens, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll be back on the other side.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
In the 1870s, proclaiming that the era of racism was over, that people would no longer be judged based on their race or background, in the 1870s. But do you know what happened in the 1870s? Blacks were disenfranchised. The votes were taken away. Black people were thrown physically out of state legislatures. Black people were terrorized from the voting polls and were not allowed to vote. Black people who had been buried in graveyards beside white folk, they had their bodies dug up and shipped somewhere else. In other words, you see, because you are integrated doesn't mean you cannot become disintegrated. And it took then 100 years up to the 1960s and 70s for black people to re-achieve again the things they had 100 years before. So there is no guarantee that because you have some kind of opportunities today, or because you're making some kind of progress today, that that progress is guaranteed to you. Disenfranchised because a group of white folk thought that that it was in their interest that they be disenfranchised. And we are in exactly the same position today. When there is a group of white folk in America today who come to believe seriously that it is in their interest to remove opportunities from black folk and to disenfranchise us, then it will happen. And ladies and gentlemen, it is on the verge of happening today.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. That was just a little excerpt from our brother Sincere Nokwari from his God Likes Beats, the Beat Tape Lectures, Volume 1. You can find him online at sincerenokwari.com. All right, so let's get into some of the news of the day. Before I jump into the main topic concerning Mr. Gavin Long, you can find most of this news that I'm going to share with you on our, well, all of it will be posted to our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, if you want to follow us there and see the content that we post. All right, so I shared one article where President Obama was being truthful about this situation concerning the violence that we see in the land. He said that police can make the job of being a cop a lot safer by admitting their failures. Now, I would expand on that. I would expand on that and say that, you know, it's not just the cops, but it is the entire criminal justice system, whether that's law enforcement, the judicial branch, these prosecutors, and even the citizens who make up these juries, who then let these killer cops go, even when there is video evidence. You know, the latest one they let go that I read about was the Indian man visiting his son in India, and somebody, he was walking while black because he was very melanated, and somebody called the police on him. Police came. He didn't speak English. He was just walking in the neighborhood that his son had a house. He didn't speak English. So they gonna body slam the man and paralyzed him. And the prosecutor did the right thing and charged the cop. But what did the jury do? Let him go. Everybody has a role, is playing a role in what's going on out there in the streets. But I thought it was interesting. That's one of the few times that I've seen President Obama be truthful and tell the cops that, you know, you need to admit what you're doing wrong. But they don't. And what is always the response to attack Obama for telling the truth when he does tell the truth? Oh, he's anti-cop and he, you know, he's to blame for all of this. And see, we're dealing with people who don't want to have honest conversations about what's going on. So that's an article. Obama says police can make the job of being a cop a lot safer by admitting their failures. And, you know, they're not going to admit that. Not all of them. You know, I don't want to paint all of the police chiefs with a broad brush and whatnot, because I have observed a few of them attempting to practice justice. So, you know, just want to make that clear. But they don't get any support. Also, Baltimore Police Lieutenant Brian Rice acquitted of all charges in the Freddie Gray case. So again, another cop out of six cops charged. You know, I think this may have been the last one. So Freddie Gray killed himself. Nobody is responsible. And I think this was a bench trial, meaning that there was no jury, but there was a judge. And most of those cops, from if I remember correctly, elected to have bench trials. They rather go before a judge than go before the people of Baltimore that would make up that jury. Should tell you something. But again, this is the reason. This is the reason that we are starting to see on a more frequent basis retaliation against the system, against the guard dogs of the system of racism, white supremacy, and slavery. But nobody wants, you know, nobody wants to really get in depth and talk about it, though. This is some information that came to me from the Center for Constitutional Rights. They said there is a backroom deal attempting to derail a vote on police reform. Let me share this real briefly with you. Last week, news broke that the New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito was taking steps to avoid a Democratic vote on the Right to Know Act, a package of legislation that would protect the rights of New Yorkers in their interactions with the NYPD. The bills would require police officers to identify themselves during encounters and document a person's consent to a search, complementing a comprehensive set of reforms in the works as a result of the Center for Constitutional Rights Stop and Frisk lawsuit, Floyd versus the City of New York. The speaker in the NYPD reportedly came to an agreement to amend the NYPD patrol guide, but this is no substitute for legislation. The patrol guide does not have the force of law. Also, the agreement will not cover the breadth of police encounters covered by the RTK Act or include its important features such as requiring objective proof of consent for a search or requiring officers to provide reasons for law enforcement encounters. Last Wednesday, the police campaign Communities United for Police Reform and the leaders in the police accountability movement joined elected officials at a rally to demand that the RTK Act receive a vote. So again, all these people coming up with solutions that they think, you know, to the problem of police abusing citizens out here in the streets. So all the legislators, the grassroots advocates and what have you, the legal professionals came together to come up with this legislation. And what do you have? Here you have a politician working with the police to undermine all of that good work. All of that good work. Tell me again about joining them and trying to change it from the inside. Because this is what happens. Not to tell anyone not to run for city council or run for public office, but just know that when you get in there, you're fighting an uphill battle. And more times than not, you know, it's not you who's going to change this system, but it's going to be the system that changed you. We got too much evidence of that. But here's just another example of the NYPD working with a politician to undermine the democratic process. Let's see. Next story, a Dodge County Circuit Court judge on Thursday rejected a request by Wahpin Correctional Institutional inmate Cesar DeLeon to stop force feeding him after DeLeon testified that he would continue hunger striking if the court's force feeding order were lifted. DeLeon had asked Judge Stephen Bauer to discontinue force feeding by nasogastric tube or in the alternative to be fed intravenously. Wahpin officials have been force feeding DeLeon for about a month after he and several other Wisconsin inmates began refusing food in an effort to end long-term solitary confinement in the state. Again, medical professionals, and in most of the world, solitary confinement is viewed as a form of torture that can have a permanent, lasting negative impact on a person, even if they're just in there for 48 hours. This is science, y'all. This is science. They've studied it. All right? They studied it, and they told you what it do to people. But no, they still want to keep doing it. All right? They still want to torture people. They even do it to children. So again, you know, not acknowledging the evils that go on in this land is simply to, you know, just create the conditions out there that we see now and possibly may even get worse. Should not be putting anyone in solitary confinement and torturing them. You just shouldn't do it. I don't know what's so, you know, controversial about that. Now, the last story I'm going to share with you, this is kind of pertaining to, you know, this next story, the main topic about what happened in Baton Rouge. But there's an article that says the Democratic Party refuses to support Palestine. So we know that Cornel West and other superdelegates, other supporters of Bernie Sanders were trying to introduce in and make part of the Democratic platform a condemnation of the human rights violations that Palestinians are facing at the hands of the Israelis. Okay, so this is what I wrote. Ask the president and those sociopaths if violence is never the answer, then why are they supporting genocide against a largely defenseless people? The U.S. government passed special legislation to replenish Israel's munitions so it could continue killing Palestinians. So again, before you open up your hypocritical mouth, you should acknowledge these facts. They want black people to denounce violence, but here is a case of the Democrats refusing to denounce violence in Northeast Africa. See, it's do as I say and not as I do. I would remind you that President Obama, who said violence is never the answer, is the commander-in-chief of the United States military. He is the head of the executive branch for which the CIA is a part of. What has the CIA been doing? Running a drone program that is responsible for the death of thousands of civilians. But violence is never the answer, Mr. President. It's never the answer. Never the answer. I don't hear that being said after Freddie Gray was crumpled up like a pretzel. And we know that man was injured before they even put him in that van. But anyway, we didn't hear no violence is never the answer. When these cops kill people out here in the street, and especially if we have video and they're unarmed, nobody say violence is never the answer. No, they don't. When he destroyed Libya, along with France and their NATO partners and whatnot, Gaddafi told him that, look, I'm not finna slaughter these people. These are terrorists. These are Islamic terrorists who are raising all this hell in Benghazi, been attacking citizens. So these lies that we're hearing in the media are simply that, they're lies. He reached out to Obama. He sent him a letter calling him a son and saying, let's talk about this, and this, you know, these reports are lies and what have you. Obama didn't say violence is never the answer. No, he went on national TV and told you why they must use violence against the most prosperous nation in Africa. A U.S. ally, no doubt. Check the record. So, you know, I'm just done with the hypocrisy. I'm done with it from everybody. Just this 4th of July or whenever Veterans Day come around, and like I tell my own family members, you know, they tell me, you know, happy Veterans Day and all, because they know I'm a vet. And I was like, don't do that, because y'all know I wasn't over there fighting for your freedom or anybody else's freedom for that matter. So you know, let's not do that. But yet millions of people in the United States will celebrate veterans for the acts of violence that they do all over this country. I mean, all over this planet. But it's okay because it's being done for your behalf, right? Right? So you don't got no problem with violence, do you? Not really. Not if you celebrate the 4th of July. That was, you know, it took violence to establish this nation. No, so let's just stop, man, with the devil speak and do as I say and not as I do. Let's lead by example, Mr. President. Let's stop the drone program. Let's withdraw troops from all over the world. That's bankrupting us as a nation. So, you know, I'm not feeling the nonviolent message today because I'm finding it to be hypocritical. So let's go ahead and jump into this about the latest veteran, Gavin Long, who was a decorated Marine who served in Afghanistan. All right. Did his time, was honorably discharged. That now everybody wants to say is crazy or is a conspiracy theorist or, you know, just want to distance themselves from him and all this and that. But when he was in Afghanistan, y'all was supporting him. When you know, he was helping to kill Afghanis, y'all was supporting him. But, you know, all of a sudden, when he takes that military training and he uses that military training against people he saw as enemies of liberty and freedom in this country, oh, now he's a villain. Now he's a villain. Now he's a terrorist. Now he's this. Now he's that. But you wasn't saying that when he was wearing that uniform, were you? And now I'm seeing attempts to tie him to the Black Nationalist movement or whatnot, which isn't very large in this country. But I'm hearing people in the mainstream media and even people on Facebook want to say, oh, he was connected to Black Nationalism and all this. Just because he was proud of being Black, just because he talked about how beautiful Black women are, just because he had went to Africa on a pilgrimage to get back in touch with his roots and what have you, that don't make him a Black nationalist. I haven't come across any evidence to suggest he was part of a movement to separate from white people and establish a new nation made up of people who used to be Black people, who used to be American citizens. I ain't heard him preach none of that from what I have seen. So why are they labeling him a Black nationalist? See, because they're looking to target some damn body. That's why. They're looking to target people. They're looking to target the movement. That's why you hear these people on TV and trying to connect them to Black Lives Matter. You can't connect them to Black Lives Matter. You can't do that. But why? They want to destroy the Black Lives Matter movement, of course. Now, I say I don't condemn people like him, and I don't condone what they ask, their acts of violence. I'm neutral. If he felt that was what he had to do, that's what he had to do, and he did it. But let's not act like we don't know why he did it. And let's not act like he was some mentally disturbed, deranged Black nationalist or something like that. Because he took the opportunity to warn, perhaps he knew he was going to do this, to tell you through a video message that he ain't associated with no group, he ain't associated with nobody, so don't go blaming his actions on anybody else. The same with his name is escaping me right now, and the brother down in Dallas, the other veteran, Sergeant Johnson. So, you know, let's give a listen to what he had to say. This is a former Marine, Gavin Long, sharing some views.
Oh, and this is very important. I wanted to let y'all know, because if anything happened with me, because I'm an alpha male, I stand up, I stand firm, and I stand for mine till the end, to the last day on this, in this flesh. But I'm not the flesh. I'm not the body. I have a body. But I just want to let y'all know, don't affiliate me with nothing. I'm not affiliated with the Black Business School, even though I might promote their business or something like that, or any of my friends, any of my associations. Those are just associations. I'm not affiliated with it. Yeah, I was also a Nation of Islam member. I'm not affiliated with it. Don't affiliate me with the money team. Something happened, they'd be like, well, yeah, we was with Floyd Mayweather. No, don't affiliate me with nothing. Black Business School, I was a Christian. I was in Africa. Don't try to say, oh, he was Africa, he was this and that. No. They'll try to put you with ISIS or some other terrorist group or anything. No, I'm affiliated with the spirit of justice. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. All right? You see, Convos with Cosmo. That's me. I created that. That's what I'm affiliated with. Conversations with Cosmo. The shit that I built. Me and my own. And with the spirit of justice. That's it. So just make sure. No affiliations. No. I thought my own thoughts. I made my own decisions. I'm the one who got to listen to the judgment. That's it. And my heart is pure.
Why are people still trying to affiliate him with other people? When he just told you his actions are his own, that he has to stand in judgment before the Creator for his actions, and don't try to put it on nobody else. But there are certainly people out there trying to do it. And I expect it from you know, the racist ghost skins in media. But what I expect is some of these black people that's you know, now trying to jump on the black national. Oh, he was a black nationalist and all of that. Why are you even talking about that? Why are you even talking about that? He said he wasn't affiliated with none of that. Why the attacks on black nationalism in the wake of this emergency compensatory action that he took? Why you ain't focusing on white nationalism and trying to put it on black nationalism? Why not say it's because of the white nationalists that have infiltrated the police departments, according to the FBI? And we see all of these extrajudicial murders of people all across this land, and 9 times out of 10, no accountability. Why not blame it on that? Don't try to blame it on the ideology of black nationalism. Black nationalism is a reaction to white terrorism. These people won't stop terrorizing black folks. Let's get away. Let's start our own nation. What the hell is wrong with you that you think that something is wrong with somebody who practices black nationalism or believes in that ideology? I would think that it sounds pretty logical to me based on the evidence, because they ain't stopped practicing racism. And it's even more confusing now, because now we got non-white people working as proxy racists of the racist system, promoting maximum confusion. Well, let me help you be not being confused. Don't think that all skin folk is kinfolk. Don't think that all kinfolk got your back. All right? And if you put on the uniform of a slave catcher, then you a slave catcher. That's the only identity. That's the only thing I'm identifying you with. I ain't identifying you as a Hispanic. I ain't identifying you as a Latino. I ain't identifying you as a black person. I'm not identifying you as a white person, unless you a white racist nationalist working in the police department. No, when you put on the uniform of the slave catcher, I'm identifying you with your profession, and your profession is slave catching. It ain't protecting the people. Now, are there some cops out there who went into policing for the right reason? Of course there are. Are there some cops who are actually an asset to their community instead of the problem in the community? Of course they are. But for the most part, by and large, what the police engage in as a profession is terrorizing black folks to keep them down and catching slaves for the new slave plantations called prisons. Well, they ain't new. They've been around since 1865 as the only constitutional designated place where slavery can be practiced legally. But you think about every person You know, we talking about Baton Rouge where the deed was done. Louisiana, how come nobody's talking about Louisiana puts more people into slavery than China? They have 7 times the prison slave population than China. China got 1 billion people. We're told that's a terrible communist country that don't like freedom, hates freedom, doesn't believe in liberty for the people. But yet we got one state, Louisiana. They have 7 times the prison slave population of China. You know what else they got down there in Louisiana? They got a contract with the Correction Corporation of America to keep the prisons 90% full. And they are keeping them full. Why? Because they don't want to pay for empty prison slave beds. That's why. So what do? Well, they push it, the orders down from the top to the cop on the block to meet quotas. What else do? Well, to ensure, you know, to increase the likelihood that they're going to make somebody a slave, in certain parishes in Louisiana, they have voted to defund the public defender's office. I thought it was everybody's constitutional guarantee to representation in the courthouse. I thought, you know, your ability to pay has no bearing on your constitutional rights, in which says that you supposed to be afforded an attorney. This is an attack everywhere. It ain't just happening in Louisiana. They ain't been cutting the public defender's budget in the county I'm in. Right now, they start making them, even if you are living below the poverty level and getting food stamps, you still got to pay for your public defender. All of this is designed to keep them slave plantations full, because 21st century slavery and human trafficking is very profitable. It always has been, and it will continue to be as long as we allow them to keep practicing slavery. Right now, there is a bill in Congress called the Justice Is Not for Sale Act to ban prisons like the Correction Corporation of America. They got that 90% occupancy rate for the prisons in Louisiana. What do we got? We got Rudy Giuliani and others in Congress lobbying Congress to throw that bill in the trash. He being paid tens of thousands of dollars to make sure private prisons stick around in this country. So if we want to talk about why there's so much violence in this land, then we got to get to the root cause. And again, I say the root cause is slavery. Others may say it's racism and white supremacy, but you can't control a person's heart. You'll never eliminate the racism that lives in men and women and children's heart. But what you can work to eliminate, it's illegalized slavery. Again, I don't give a damn if the white people that live in the area that I live in are racist or you know, they want to fly their Confederate flags on their truck. That's kind of stuff I don't pay no attention to it. What I do pay attention to it is if they step to me and they, you know, act like they want to come on our property and harm us, or if I'm out, you know, and about and want to harm us. I care about that. But in terms of what they think about me as a black person, I don't give a damn. Everybody got an opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody got one. But what I do care about is when people are being paid with taxpayer money and given the authority to kill and enslave, and they out here doing just that. I got a problem with all of that. And any person who believes in justice should have a problem with it too. Again, don't talk to me about, you practice injustice, or we a law and order nation and rule of law, when we just all saw millions of people, y'all let Hillary Clinton get away with lying to Congress, lying about the Secret Service she had, lying to us about whether or not she sent classified material over unsecure networks. And then the FBI director in front of Congress said, yes, she lied. Yes, she did do that. Yes, she lied. Yes, she did do this. Yes, she lied. She did all of that, what you just said. Then why you didn't prosecute her? Oh, well, you know, she's Hillary Clinton. We got the president out there campaigning for a criminal, which should be no surprise because he's a criminal too. But, you know, them two got plenty of black bodies on the tab. So, you know, if I don't care to entertain what the president has to say about law and order when, you know, these people are engaged in some of the most evil activities on the face of the planet, you know, don't say I'm unreasonable. I find you to be an unreasonable person. If you can just go along to get along, that's unreasonable under these conditions. That's crazy. If you want to direct those type of comments to one segment of the population and not the entire population, I got a problem with you. So, you know, Mr. Gavin Long did what he did because there is too much injustice in this land. Don't ask me to condemn it because I'm of the same mind of Malcolm X. You want to say it's wrong for us to use violence in defense of black men, women, and children, but you send us overseas to do violence on behalf of America? That's insanity. That's crazy. That does not add up. It's hypocritical, and people ought to stop falling for it. This is, we live on in the most violent culture in the world. The Pentagon even funds violent movies. I've had a former media professor on who had wrote an article about the interview. The interview, remember the movie came out, the comedian with Seth Rogen, and they were, you know, going to travel to North Korea and assassinate the North Korean president. That was funded by the military, by the Pentagon. That was funded with tax dollars. Part of it, not all of it. American Sniper. Damn, people was talking about that film deserved the Oscar. Let's celebrate this American hero who ambushed hundreds of people in Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever the hell Chris Kyle was in the world. We know where he at now. He dead, killed by another vet. But y'all celebrated that, right? Was talking about it was Oscar worthy. A blockbuster. I don't know how many millions, tens of millions or hundreds of millions that film grossed. Celebrating what? Violence. So check yourself, check your hypocrisy at the door before you reach out, before you speak out to condemn. Y'all act like this man ran up in the damn club and shot up a whole bunch of unarmed people. That ain't what he did. Y'all act like, you know, he was in control of a drone and shot a missile into a marketplace filled with people just to take out one person. That ain't what he did. He ain't do none of that. That's what the state does. That's what the CEO of America does. That's what the commander-in-chief does. That's what cowards do. Cowards attack innocent, defenseless civilians. Gavin Long didn't do that. He didn't attack unarmed civilians. He didn't go into a white community and just start gunning down everybody coming down the street. He didn't do nothing like that. He went after uniforms. So before you call him a coward, Mr. Obama, it is you who sits behind these enemy lines in the safety of the USA with a kill list in your pocket, determining who you gonna kill next with a drone. That's cowardice. So again, don't get it twisted. I don't celebrate the death of anyone. That's sick. That's morbid. It's just not in me to be like Hillary Clinton, to laugh and make jokes about the killing of another person like she did when Gaddafi was brutally murdered by them Islamic jihadists that they used to overthrow Libya. I'm not a sick sociopath like she is. I don't make jokes about people dying. I don't celebrate the deaths of anyone, no matter who it is. I met some sick people like that when I was in the military. You know, some of them guys, man, they would have trophies, what they call trophies. Wasn't like Vietnam where they was taking actual body parts off of the people they killed in their own lands. But they would take pictures. And I remember being in the mess tent and some of these grunts were passing around these pictures of mutilated bodies and laughing at it and laughing and joking. I mean, I was like, man, that y'all are sick. To be looking at something like that, and then we're at dinner and this is what you're passing around the freaking dinner table. Come on. So just check your hypocrisy at the door, man. When y'all was told that bin Laden was behind the 9/11 attacks, y'all was begging for blood. Y'all begging. How dare they kill all them Americans and what have you? We must have blood. Even though he denied responsibility, and the people who it looks like was more responsible than most was the Saudis. And then when you heard about bin Laden getting killed, hell, there were people, they were showing it all on the news. People cheering. Went to the White House and had a big celebration. I'm not sick like that. I don't celebrate people's deaths and killings. I want all the violence to end. And the only way that it's going to end is if this terrorism and this slavery stop. I just got a feeling, you know, people are all talked out. How many hundreds of years have we been trying to have this conversation? Stop the violence. Stop practicing slavery. Stop stealing other people's land. Had they stopped? Hell no. They ain't stopped, man. So, you know, what you expect? People to just take it? That's not natural. And a lot of black people, man, we are so freaking beat down, so, you know, brainwashed, just so, you know, we got Stockholm Syndrome, man. It just needs to stop. If we want to have an honest conversation, let's have an honest conversation. Let's not be politically correct. If people don't like what you have to say, that's their problem. Say it. And then let them respond to it. If they got a better solution, then, you know, what is that solution? But we, you know, we need to be honest. We need not bite our tongues. We need not cower in fear. But we need to be men and women and stand up. and keep fighting to make this a better world for everybody. Not just us, but for everybody. That said, let me see. We got Tando Radio Show coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I believe the topic will be about World War III, Global War. It has begun. And then wrapping up our live programming tonight at 11 o'clock p.m., we will have Dark Matter Radio, The Creation of the African American with Buck Wylam. So definitely check out Brother Ronnie on Dark Matter Radio tonight. Check out Brother Dave. And remember, you know, if you think that we need to have real conversations that aren't being controlled by anyone else, then please consider making a donation to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Show us that black radio stations matter by supporting those stations. If you don't support the Black Talk Media Project, find a local black radio station that is not putting out garbage, let me add that, and support it. Start one. Start your own. I'll be more than happy to help you. That's why we were created as an organization, to help people build independent black media, whether that be digital radio stations or whether that be video platforms. We can help you do that. But like Mr. Porter said, and thanking him again for joining us today, man, that's the solution. We got to build our own, man. We got to build our own, and then we got to market it to the masses and show them that there is an alternative. And before I close out, I haven't mentioned this in a while. We do have a music station that we produced or created. It's called the Message Music Station. You can find it right there on blacktalkradionetwork.com. I don't know if I submitted it to TuneIn or not. If I did not, I'll check on that. If I did not, I'll get it submitted to TuneIn. But if you click on that tab, if you are a hip-hop artist out there, R&B artist out there, and you putting forth positive music, if you're talking about revolutionary music, if you're talking about love and not hate, if you're talking about, you know, just things positive in life, we're interested in putting your music out there. We will put it on the station and offer it to people who listen to that music station. So, you know, we got to support our independent artists as well out there, people. It's good music being made. It just ain't being broadcast on your radio station. You got to look for it online. And once you find it, you know, you will find that there are a lot of great people still making great music. And we need to support those people. All right, so that's the end of the program. I want to thank our guests again, Mr. Paul Porter of Industry Ears and Rap Rehab. You can find him on Facebook under Paul Porter. You can also find him on Twitter. Look him up on Twitter as well. And if you're down there in the Orlando area, I hope that you will support his low-power FM radio station, The Wire. With that said, recognize the fact that we do live behind enemy lines, that these people are still practicing slavery, that this slave catching often ends in death or somebody getting hurt and what have you. And with all of this going on, you need to be aware at all times of your surroundings, whether you so that you can prevent attacks by terrorists, just some ignorant person up in the club want to shoot up the club. You always got to be on alert. I was reading a story about the three young men sitting in the car the other day on Facebook, sitting in the car streaming live on Facebook, singing and rapping and smoking dope, and somebody came up on them and shot them all up. Thankfully, none of them died. Still don't know who shot those young men up. But they weren't aware. See, if they was aware, they would have seen the shooter coming. So stay alert, stay alive. Until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe out there.